Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Well, you may not have noticed, but we have children in this morning.
Yay.
Some of them young. If you're newish here today, it is Family Sunday, and we are going to have a meal after the meeting today. And you may have been here one, two, three times. You're like, oh, man, I didn't bring anything. I got to go. We have more than enough food for everyone this morning, even you healthy eaters who like food. We have fried chicken from Hobo's. Salad from Stefanina's. It's going to be outstanding. It's going to be wonderful. And you will receive some instruction after the meeting how we're going to jump into that. Not face first, but jump into that. It's going to be great. So the kids are in, and it's a little bit of a different meeting. Has anybody seen the movie, the series? I don't even know what it's on, Netflix, called The Chosen.
Yes.
Anybody seen The Chosen before? I love it. I've encountered a couple of people who don't like it. I don't understand that, but that's okay. Some people don't like chocolate, and they're wrong also. I mentioned chocolate last week. I'm not going to mention chocolate again. I hope we have some for lunch.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Let's have lunch together, Dana. And one of the things I think about Family Sunday, it reminds me when I see things like The Chosen. And Jesus, which I believe is an absolute accurate portrayal, was happy, was kind, was generous, was interesting. Randy says funny. There was a smile on Jesus' face. Why do I think that? Because when I read the word, it says children wanted to be around him. I don't know, and I probably won't touch on this in a few minutes, but I was raised in a family of four. My dad, my stepmom, my sister, and I had zero access to my grandparents. They lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away. My aunt and uncle, I had one aunt or one uncle who was married to an aunt.
Yep.
I mean, it's okay. It's not Missouri. It's not Arkansas. Sorry. It was an aunt and uncle. We're moving on. Bottom line is, I had no relationship with family. Zero. None. And when I went to hang around my grandparents, God bless them. But they were crabby. They frowned. They didn't hug. They didn't touch. And I was good with that. But there was just no joy in their life. And I did not want to hang around my grandparents. And I think they felt the same towards me. I'm over it now, some therapy, I'm fine. I don't even mention it anymore. But you ever hang around people who you just know they're not comfortable around you and you're not comfortable around them? It's just awkward. Jesus is the absolute opposite of that.
Yes.
He loved having the little kids around him, and the disciples wanted to get all religious. Hey, keep the little kids around, hey, make them go away. Jesus is like, no. Have them come close. They see life. Let them have life.
Amen.
So I look at life and I think, I enjoy being around people who are in life. And again, I'm not talking about personality. It has nothing to do with personality. It has to do with Jesus exuding and rolling out of people. It makes us winsome to the world. It makes us a fragrance to the world.
Amen.
It is Jesus in me, in you, that the world is... It's dying for, to find people just perfuming the world with King Jesus. And so I love having the kids in. It's awesome, wonderful. You can be sensitive to time. We'll talk about that maybe in just a minute. But I love Family Sunday. And, you know, when you think about family, I love family. We have four children. We have four grandchildren. And we're so blessed. I know not everybody has children. Everybody has the opportunity to have grandchildren. But family is so amazing. I love family. But sometimes family can be hard. Anybody ever have people in your family that are just a challenge? If you don't, you might... No. No, absolutely not. Family can be so challenging at times. And my wife and I were talking about that this week. Sometimes family will say things to family they wouldn't say to anybody else. Whether it's harsh or critical or fault-finding, sometimes family, it's like, well, I can rip you to shreds because you're my friend, my brother. And I'm like, no, why? I wouldn't say that to the cash register lady at Walmart. Why does family sometimes feel it's okay to hurt family and be harsh with them and cruel? And I was thinking about marriage, and I think I told, there was a young adult meeting this week, and there was a question and answer. There was three amazing people up here. I was part of the panel. I just deferred to them mostly. And they asked about, you know, marriage, because, you know, we were mostly married. I think all four people were married.
Yes.
Yeah, they were all married. And I wanted to say, marriage has been probably the most difficult, challenging relationship in my entire life. And it's not because of her. It's because of who she married. That's the challenge. But it's God-ordained marriage. Why? Because for the first time in my life, I could actually accurately see me. The Bible shows me me, but sometimes I'm deluded in thinking, I'm a lot more mature than I really am. And then God in his kindness gives me princess, and I get to see up front, up close, how selfish I am, how self-absorbed I am. And what a gift it is that we have people in our life to show us the reality of me. And family provides some of that. It allows us to interact with people and get close to people and realize we have broccoli in our teeth. We have bad breath. And that's the nice stuff. Because, you know, bad attitudes is far worse than bad breath. It is true. Laura, are you agreeing with that or not? Family is so fun. And it's wonderful, and it allows us to, when we look at family, to at times judge others. Does anybody ever judge other people and have internal thoughts about other folks? I've talked about it several Sundays. You know, and I have those things that help me, and I just want to say I'm a reforming judge. I'm a repenting judge-er. And you're different to me, but things in my eye, they're there, and I realize how judgy I am, and it's so ugly. I don't want to be judgy, but all I have to do is drive my car, and I judge. I watch the way people speak to waiters and waitresses, and I judge. The way people tip waiters and waitresses. We went to a restaurant yesterday, and I saw a lady putting coins on the table for the tip. And I, you know, yeah. The way spouses speak to each other. It just pains my soul when I hear the way spouses speak to one another. The way people parent or don't parent their children. I judge. Isn't that wrong? Greg, is that wrong? Yes, okay, that's the right answer. There's different parenting methods. When I hear other people's political views, I'm like, why would you think that way? That's just wrong. And they're looking at it the same way with me, and they're thinking, Tom, why are you so wrong? People who don't say please and thank you, I think, what is wrong with you people? Didn't people give you manners? People who don't open up doors for other people and walking in stores and whatnot, I think, help us. People who dunk their cookies in milk, that's wrong. I judge them. When I see it, I'm like, the cookie is dry. Why would you ruin it if it's in the package, soppy? Go ahead and eat it. I judge people. It's wrong. Cookies are supposed to be dry. But there are times when we look at families, and for me, and for some people, not these people, sometimes when we look at families, it's so easy to judge how other people are raising their kids. Because they're not raising them the way I think. Maybe not the way I did, but the way I think. Because there can be a wild discrepancy between what I think and what I did. Ask my children. Okay, and I'm going to share two or three things that my wife gave me permission to share, okay? Because they're all about her. And they're going to make her look great. So, as I said earlier, we have two boys, two girls, are now like 39 down to 31, and they're all four in that grouping. And our daughters gave us a run for their money. I don't know where genetically they would have got that. But our daughters, our boys were sweet, kind, humble, overly wonderful. And our daughters were just a lot of color on their canvas, a lot of mouth. Spirited, very spirited. And my beautiful wife was talking to an older lady who was a wonderful woman. And my wife said, how do I deal with this daughter? I won't mention her name, it's Kelly. And how do I deal with, she's our eldest. And I don't even know, you want to just quickly?
Oh, great.
Yeah. See, I'm not going to say it, she is, so I don't get in trouble for it. So real quick.
So she was very spirited, and I just could not get along with her. In fact, on Sunday mornings, Tom said I was forbidden to speak to her in the morning.
I mean, it's just boundaries.
Yeah. And so I went to
about 5 miles
to my pastor's wife, and I just said, I don't know how to handle this girl. And she said, okay, look at it like this. Kelly's 20 years down the road. Kelly's going to be over here. You're here now with her. Kelly's going to be fine. What God is looking at is your attitude. What are you going to do? Kelly's not the issue. Your heart is the issue. How are you going to behave? How are you going to act? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm so glad you learned that lesson, Randy. I've been praying for it for years. Help, Lord Jesus. Sorry. I'm going to go more towards this. But we watch how other people parent or other kids' behaviors. And most of us are mature or churched enough to not say anything, to not shake our head, to not go, oh my gosh, get a hold of those kids. We're far too churched to do that and say that. So we just have, for me, just judge on the inside and keep it here. And we talk about it later. But I know you're not like that because you're godly and Jesus followers, and you would never think those things about other people's parenting hope, strategy, loosely defined. And I'm going to read a story in a second out of the scripture about Jesus. And the story, it reminds me of a movie. Do we have that movie clip, Noah? Is there a movie clip? Oh.
Whose is this?
That's Brooke.
This is Megan. Brooke, give this to Brooke. This is Kevin. Give this to Kevin.
Give this to Kevin.
Kevin's not here. What?
Okay, many of us, most of us, will be very familiar with that movie called Home Alone. And they make entire movies about parenting, or the lack of, or loosely defined, or different strategies than maybe what you would like to employ, or did employ. And we watch movies like that, and honestly, we're like, who in the world would do that? Who's going to go to the airport, get on a plane? I think one of the movies, maybe they even arrived in Paris, they're on the plane. And sure, she had 84 kids. But who does, especially with that kid, I would want to know where Kevin is at all times. All times, because he's that kid. And we had that kid. I'm not going to mention that one's name. He might listen to it. But what kind of parenting is that? How do you go on a trip and lose a child? Who does that? If you have multiple, lots of, it's possible. Okay, can we look in the Bible?
Yes.
Luke chapter 2, verse 39 through 52. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. This is when Jesus was presented at the temple. They returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child, Jesus, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. every year. How many years?
Every year.
Every year. Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Verse 42, and when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up, the parents, the family, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Parenting 101. But they were unaware of it. What were they unaware of? You're minus a boy. A 12-year-old boy. Now, granted, probably the most godly, well-behaved child in the history of child. They left him. Home Alone. What a stupid movie. That's not reality. It's Jesus. Heard of him? Verse 43 again. It's right there in the Word. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Verse 44. Thinking he, Jesus, was in their company and their group and their posse, they traveled for a day. Then and only then, they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. They'd been gone a day. Now, Jerusalem from Nazareth, Jerusalem was where the Passover feast was. Nazareth was 91 miles away. Many hours. Many of them, if not most all of them, would have been walking. Now, if you go from this building right here to the heart of Columbia, Missouri, 91 miles. Almost to the kilometer. 91 miles. So, my wife and I, yesterday, we drove from St. Peter's to Columbia in our little car, tooling down the road. We kept it mostly in the right speed because Randy, my helper, thank you, Tim, my helper was monitoring. 91 miles. And as I'm driving, I'm thinking, this whole distance that I'm going 69 miles an hour, because the speed limit was 70. Plus minus. It took us an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, by foot, 91 miles? It's not a day trip. It's days to get there. Days. And at the end of the day, Mommy probably, where's Junior? The eldest. Where's Junior? The Savior of the world. The King of the universe. The Messiah. It's not like Kevin. Should we leave him? I don't know. Let's pray about it. No, it's Jesus. How do you forget about Jesus? What kind of parenting? He's only the Messiah. You might want to keep an eye on him. Kind of important. My opinion only. Kind of important. Carrying on in the same verse, it says, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. There's a large group of people. That was part of the challenge. There's a large group of people that are going from the Passover meal and week from Jerusalem to Nazareth. How do you miss a kid? There's a lot of people in this company of people, as the scripture says. Dinner time. No Jesus. They had an idea who he was. There was this thing, a virgin birth thing. Might have been a tip-off that this child's a little different. Angels visiting, Gabriel. Simeon and Anna, at the very beginning of this passage, who prophesied as Jesus was 8 days old going to the temple. I've seen the Messiah. They might have had an inkling there's something special about this young man. And what have they done? They've lost the King of the universe. Could it get any worse? Imagine how you freak out when you lose your cell phone. Anybody ever lose your cell phone? Does anybody freak out when you lose your cell phone? I mean, you think the world just ended. You're tracking back. I've lost my cell phone maybe one time in my life. One time every week for the rest and all of my life, I lose my phone. And I go into a cold sweat. I lose my wallet, my credit cards. I think I don't want to cancel them all. I go into panic. They just misplaced the Messiah. Panic. True panic. Verse 45. When they did not find him, can you imagine? Have you ever lost a kid in a department store? Gosh, it's a parent's worst nightmare. At the end of a day, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. I was reminded again, Randy, thank you for volunteering. And I really did. I asked her permission before, didn't I?
Yes.
Yes, you did. So there you go, blank check. You don't know what I'm going to say now. It was just three stories. 30 years ago, we have four children, and we have one that the family calls the golden child, Stephen. It's not like he gets special favor. He's just Randy's golden child. It's Easter Sunday. We're living in Edwardsville, Illinois. Where's Audrey Block? There she is, Audrey. We're in Edwardsville in a church with John and Audrey Block. And it's Easter Sunday. We've got, I think, we probably had just two kids at the time, maybe four. And they all run together, I don't know. Randy jumps in the car and the passenger van and starts rolling for home. Why? It's Easter Sunday. Because she's worried about the ham. It's kosher. Very kosher ham. Don't be put off by that. But all she can think of, this is her words, not mine, all she can think is rescuing the ham before it burns. There's a three-year-old little boy, Mommy, Mommy, stop! She left him in the church parking lot.
It was 10.
10. Even worse, you're more familiar with him. You had 10 years to know who he was. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. He was three, he was young, we barely know each other. We look at movies like Home Alone, we think, what stupid parenting. Life happens. People get busy. And we miss kind of important things. And just think for just a second, for those people who have children, have you ever had that moment where they're lost and the sheer panic that happens on the inside? I mean panic. If you lose your phone, that's one thing. It can be replaced. A wallet, it can be replaced. Verse 46. After 3 days. 3 days. You know how many nights that would mean Jesus is out somewhere? Who knows where he's sleeping, where he's eating? Two full nights out somewhere. It's your son, the king of the universe. After 3 days, they found him. And the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Verse 47. Everyone, this is the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that are going to put him on a cross in 20 years. Everyone who heard him was amazed at this 12-year-old's understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. He's been gone 3 days. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." A paraphrase called The Message by Dr. Peterson wrote this in this same passage out of The Message. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. And this was Peterson's take on the same text. It says, "The next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed."
There it is.
Reality. They were upset and hurt. And I love the way Peterson has this next sentence. His mother, Mary, his mother said, "Young man."
Yes.
That's when you hear Thomas Malone, Kyle. Oops, I slipped. That's my middle name. When you hear from your parents all three names, trouble. Or, young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you. Which I think if you have any history of misplacing a child for 5 minutes, 3 days, 2 nights. And Jesus' response, he's 12. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. Didn't you know? Speaking to his mother, 3 days, 2 nights. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother, Mary, treasured all these things in her heart. I'll bet. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Can I just encourage you? At Life Church, we celebrate family. We are about family. We understand there's a family in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's been for eternity. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit didn't want to just have that. It says, let's create mankind in our image, in our likeness, that we can extend our family. Jesus is all about family. I was not raised in a Christian home, and we had values. We had values. Good values, great values. But I was also taught at a very young age to judge other people because my mom was the best at it. And I loved my mom. She's gone on to be with Jesus now. She got saved late in life. But sometimes when you're in family, people can irritate you. The way other people do life can irritate you. "Why don't you do it like me? Because I'm right." When the prayer time at, I think it was this morning, I forget who prayed. It was Frank. Frank prayed about not being fault finders and critical. And I was like, oh, that when we have family and we watch how other people raise their kids, how other kids respond or don't respond to parents' issues and edicts, it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to be critical. They need to go to the next parenting class. They need this. They need that. Why? I'm going to give them Dr. Dobson's book. That's kind of 80s, sorry. Is he still alive, Dr. Dobson? No? He's with Jesus. He's parenting children in heaven. I don't know.
Good book.
It is. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank, the beam, the log, in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?" Jesus said, "You hypocrite, Tom. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." James 2, verse 13, the Bible says this, "Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's one of our values in this family. Kindness, mercy, treating people with honor and respect as we process and grow in life. Sometimes it's so hard in life when we engage with each other. My wife and I were talking about, and I'll get to a GBH in just a second. My wife and I were talking about a family, just different parenting. We've been Christians 47, 46 years. And it was really, really, really close friends of ours who had children ahead of us, before we had our children. And they had, let's just say, multiple children, three. And the boy, and we were over at their house all the time because we were really super tight. And the boy, he was probably 4 years old, would run through the house with a large steak knife, playing pirate, full pelt. Through the house, I was going, Their other boy ended up on top of a refrigerator while we were there. 2.5 years old, on top of the fridge. My wife and I decided judge, jury, executioner. Bad parenting. The other child was perfect and beautiful. But we just remember how we felt about that family. We loved them so much, but we looked at the way their kids were. And we judged. And then we had our own kids, and we said, I'm sorry. And the funny thing is that family, all three of their children are serving Jesus. Madly in love with Jesus, all their children. In spite of the butcher knife. Playing pirate. And I mean, running full pelt through the house. We were horrified. They're so cool. Great, but how? Great. Wonderful. They lost Jesus. They found Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus actually wasn't lost. The parents lost him, but Jesus wasn't lost. He was in his Father's house where it was a picture of, again, even as a 12-year-old, he understood, this is home for me. In my dad's house, my father's house. Great, but how? What can we do as a family? Is family helping rather than judging? Family helping rather than criticizing, rather than tisking. Okay, one more story. I got to do this one. And I got a permission for this. So I was in England, coming home, and we had four children at that point. Little guys, the twins are like 9 months old. I'll close with this story. 9 months old. And I am dog tired. And my wife, as I recall, dolled up. She had a dress on. Did you have a dress on? No, what did you have on? Okay.
It's okay. No.
She had clothes on at the airport. She was all dolled up. And as she told me, she just got a perm, whatever that is. It's a curly thing hair. She did her hair up beautifully. She was all dressed up nice. And it was one of those things where you're walking through a window thing down the corridor because you're going through customs. And I saw my wife. And she's standing there holding Andrew, our youngest. He's probably 9 months old. And she is less than happy. And I'm thinking she should be happy. Maybe that's part of the problem. I was coming home. And I saw something in her hair, and I was like, what in the world has that woman done? A new do. So I come around through, and my wife, our nine-month-old son, had vomited in her hair. At the moment I'm coming out to greet her. There was vomit on the ground. Vomit everywhere. We love our son, Andrew. He's a spewer. Somehow the moment was gone. I don't know why. So dramatic. It's a little vomit. Hey, it happens. It was all over her hair. Because the curly, that was it, the perm. It held the vomit very well. It was pungent. It was thick. It was. We're going to have chicken in just a minute. What? I can't help it. It's going to be good. You're going to love the chicken. Light on the grease. Go. Soft, soft. But here's the point of that story. There was two older ladies seated near her in the airport lounge. Two older ladies, like 20, 25 years older than Randy, sitting there, and they were laughing at my wife. Vomit in her hair. Randy scrambling around trying to sop up the vomit with whatever she had. And these two other ladies never moved to help. Didn't get out of their chair. They just sat there and belly laughed. And my wife would vomit at her hair and vomit all over the ground. And my wife's own words later, when sanity returned to her, I would remember to never treat someone else like that. It was probably 30 years ago, and it's still a fresh memory. So, great, but how? As a family, when we see people distressed, when we see people struggling, whether it's with health, whether it's parenting, whether it's finance, we can sit there and just, I wonder why they have these issues or whatever. Or we can get out of the chair and help people clean up the vomit in their life without judging. That's the opportunity we have, real family, authentic family, is to love one another when it's messy. That's life, and that's Jesus, what he affords us, is to live differently. Not fault finders, Frank, not critical people, not bony finger of accusation. Well, if you didn't, your kids are going to turn out. Let's not be like that. We have an opportunity to love people when they're in pain, love people when they're in distress. We can do that. Father, I thank you for family. Jesus, I thank you that you decided to put this passage in Scripture so we can see it, your mom and your dad. This life is not perfect. As parents, we're not perfect. But Father, in this family, and what we can export to people in our schools, what we can export to people, to our teachers, what we can export to our neighbors, how we can treat our mom and dad, how we can treat people in this church family, in our neighborhood, is we can love people really well. And when there's a mess around them, rather than to sit in judgment and accuse and attack and be judge and jury and executioner, Lord, that we would get up and help and love people in a practical way. That we can express family the way heaven is expressed, all one for another. Father for the Son, Son for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit only wants to glorify Jesus. Jesus is all about the Father. Just one beautiful cycle of love and family. Lord, may we do that. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.